know, we got a lot of football left, a lot of opportunity left, and we'll kick off the second quarter this week, and still looking for our best game. Still looking for four quarters of complimentary football. We've not done that yet. We've seen it in spots. We played the first half of LSU game, two quarters of good complimentary football, and then the last half of the Troy game, two quarters of good complimentary football. But outside of that, we just haven't put it together, and that's what it's going to take for us to kind of get back on track. Another great opportunity this week to go play and see if we can find a way to win a game. And that's really our focus, is just trying to play our best game, trying to, you know, continue to learn and grow from mistakes and things we got to do better, and know that we can do better. I know that, for us, there's a lot of disappointment, you know, where we are at this point. They don't cancel the season after the first quarter. They don't call a football game off after the first quarter. We got a long way to go, but it doesn't get any easier. Every game is a battle, and we're definitely, you know, got our backs against the wall, and we put ourselves in a hole, and we got to find a way to get ourselves out of it. And you just got to do it, you know, one week at a time, one play at a time, and that's really what our deal is right now. We just need one more play, one more score, one more stop. But I love how the guys have responded this week. Love our team, our staff. It's a good group of people that are together and know what we got to go do. But again, doesn't get any easier. Syracuse is a really good football team. They're undefeated in the league. So, you know, we know, hey, we've got a loss in the league. So we got zero room for error. So we've got to find a way to win a ball game. And Syracuse is coming in here off of two good wins, and one of them in overtime. They're a very tough football team, well coached. You know, Fran is a guy that I got a lot of respect for, and his team plays really hard. I mean, these guys are physical. They are physical as crap on both sides of the ball. They fly around, we'll get after you. So offensively, they're another challenge. I mean, they play with a ton of tempo, snap the ball 80 plus times. I mean, they're playing really, really fast. They've got some length outside. They're huge up front. The quarterback came in he was the backup at Notre Dame, and he's done a heck of a job. I think they're third in the country in passing offense, and he might be leading the nation in passing. That doesn't mean they get off the bus throwing it all over the park. It doesn't mean they don't run the ball. Everything really starts with them running the ball to pass the ball. The back is kind of like Maffa. He's a 235-pound back. Big, thick kid, strong downhill runner, but every run they have is an RPO. I mean, everything. The kid can pass it every snap, whether it's a screen, a true RPO, second level, or third level read, and then, you know, a ton of play action shots, move them out of the pocket, and a bunch of drop back. I mean, they whether it's an empty or it's tight sets, you know, whatever it is, again, watching the quarterback after three games. He's a really good player. So this is a big challenge for our defense. A lot of shots. They'll again move the pocket all over the place, free release the back. The back's a factor in the passing game as well. So we've got to find a way to affect the quarterback. It's just that simple. I mean, he's a guy that can really he can beat you. So. Big challenge there, matching up with their skill and affecting this quarterback to give ourselves a chance. And then over on the defensive side, they've done a nice job, with their scheme. Very aggressive. I mean, very aggressive. Get after you up front. The one thing that jumps out off the tape is they're physical, number one, but they fly to the ball. I mean, these guys are around the ball. Anytime you stop the film, They got a bunch of dudes around the ball. So play really, really hard. And they've got good skill on the back end. They're a really good front. They've got one, the one kid, number eight. I think it's his, maybe his eighth year in college. He's a problem. He's got some really good athleticism and length. He's been a very effective, big inside. I really like all their players. 91, 4, 11. Got good corners. Two's one of the better players in our league. He's been around for a while. Deuce Chestnut. So it's a good football team. Probably the best punter in our league. Really, really good special teams guy. So big challenge. And, we're looking forward to it. Looking forward to another opportunity to get back out and compete our butts off and see if we can get our season on track. Any questions?
So Elijah Thurman, was that a injury from the Troy game or was that practice?
Practice. Okay. Yeah, practice.
What's his status?
Day to day. We'll release a status report on Thursday of all these guys. So that's protocol now with ACC games.
Progress so far from his injury?
Yeah, he's still coming. The quad strain, I think I might have mentioned that a week or so ago. The quad strain kind of set him back, but he's still not fully back, but progressing.
With the offense, you just mentioned, one play away and some of the basic, simple stuff. To you, how much is that on players? How much is that on coaches? How does that split kind of go for the blame so far?
There's accountability for everybody. This isn't middle school football. It's everybody's accountable. Everybody's got to be better.
With the first quarter mark here, as you're evaluating Tom Allen so far, how much do you factor in the learning curve of a new defense, a new language, sort of starting from scratch?
The first two games, good enough to win. You hold 17 points to LSU and got one big play that we gave up there. You're good enough, that's good enough to win. So I'd say you passed those two tests, but we stunk in Atlanta. But how about let's give Haynes King some credit? How about we give Georgia Tech some credit? That quarterback was special. And, I knew going in he's a special player, and he was special in the game when they needed it most. He was the difference in the game. And so that game, we didn't get it done defensively to what we need to be what we want to be. So, we hadn't had Khalil Barnes. He's one of our best players. That's been a little bit of a factor as well, but no excuse. We got plenty. I just think, again, same thing. We it's complimentary football. 21 points. The 3 points came off the offense, so. 21 points. We got to score points. So, I say it's down to one play. There's one play I could change on defense that we win the game. But there's about eight of those, one play. If I change one of those eight, and it had nothing, don't even take anything away from them, like stuff that we control, you win the game. But, we got to get the offense rolling. Defensively, I think we're going to be fine. I think Tom's done a great job, but there's certainly newness. There's some things that they've got to work through. Got to drive the car a little while, but it wasn't good enough in Atlanta. It wasn't good enough. It was good enough to win the first game and certainly good enough to win the second game. They gave up 7 points. That's what they gave up. And the rest is on the offense. So I think it's the first quarter. I think we got a lot of football. We got a long way to go. It's a long season. Played good people, and again, we haven't come close to playing our best football, and you've got two losses down to the last play against good teams. So that stinks, but also there's reason for optimism. We got to do a better job with things that we control. Rotated forever around here. Best defense in the country, 2014. We rotated 5 D tackles and we rotated 4 D ends. We rotated Shaq Lawson, Vic Beasley, Kevin Dodd, Corey Crawford, Tavares Barnes. We played five ends every game, five D tackles. DJ Reader, Grady Jarrett, Deshaun Williams, Josh Watson, Carlos Watkins. I mean, yeah. Just play all them guys.
So we're dominating the line of scrimmage that year, too?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. We were number one in the country. But we rotated them all year.
That's what I'm asking. Like, that dominance hasn't happened. So I'm just wondering if there's a chance.
How many points did we go to LSU?
17.
Okay. Is that good enough to win defensively? Should be. They gave up 7 against Troy, and they gave up 21 against Georgia Tech. So I'm not saying we're dominating people, but we're trying. It's a long season, and you got to, you know, where we got to be better defensively is third down. That's where we got to be better, you know, and we got to get off the field a little bit more. But who do you not want us to play?
That's not my preference.
Okay, well, we're going to play the guys that deserve to play. They can't play every snap. We got to have a rotation in the D-line. We don't play anybody that doesn't rotate D-linemen. I mean, they can't play every snap. The guys have to play. We got to make sure we develop some depth as we go through the season at a critical position. It's a very critical position to have some depth.
Do you feel like the effort's always been there? Some of those
guys. Yeah, I think the guys played hard. They battled their butts off. I mean, you can take any football game of any team, and you can find a play, and we do that. We have we call it a loaf tape every Monday, and we don't have many, but that's something that we create a lot of accountability in. But you can find a loaf on any tape at any level every week. You can find somebody, but you have to hold people accountable. There's consequences for that in front of everyone. You know, it's a group thing, so the high level accountability of that. But these guys have battled their butts off. They really have. So we hadn't got the result that we want in two close games.
You said repeatedly that you've been a little too soft on the perimeter.
Yeah.
Is that especially a concern of facing the offense you're going to see Saturday?
Yes, for sure. I don't think we haven't set the edge well enough, you know, in the screen game in particular. We have not defeated some blocks well enough, gotten off some blocks, and got to do a better job on that in space for sure. That's definitely a concern.
Is that why Strozier kind of got a little bit more snaps against Georgia Tech?
Well, I mean, Ashton's giving up PIs and giving up bad big play with bad eyes. I mean, we're playing man coverage and he's looking in the backfield. So, you know, just precision in what we do, details, eye discipline. I mean, it's just we got to be better, and technique and fundamentals. And so, you got to put the next guy in there. Strozier deserves to play. I think Strozier, honestly, has had a good camp. And he's a kid that's, I think, the arrow's up by his name. He's progressing for us. And but, you know, Ashton is a special talent. He's a special player. But we got to get him playing that way. And he will. He'll respond. But, you know, just really poor on that one big play on the slant and go. That was a critical play in the game. He's just looking in the backfield, and it's just eye discipline on doing your job. And then the one screen that they hit out there, he just, you know, out of control, flying and diving at the ground as opposed to collisioning and creating, making the receiver have to stop his feet. This is basic football. You know, we got to clean some of that stuff up. So Strozier deserved an opportunity to play, but he missed a tackle, should have been no gain, you know? So, I mean, it's just, we got to be better, but that's our job as coaches to get them better, and they got to play. I mean, it's early in the season. You're playing in games that one play can make the difference. If we win both of those games, we still have the same problems. That's the thing here. It just, you know, you feel different, right? Like, y'all probably ain't asking some of these questions, but that's just the reality of it. We got to clean up some techniques, some fundamentals, some eye discipline. On both sides of the ball.
What's the one offensive play you'd like to have back against Georgia Tech?
The turnovers. It'd take two of them. You win the game. I mean, the fumble, that can't happen. that's how they got 3 points, and then the interception on that yard line. You don't have a touchdown, you don't get a field goal right there. So you got to walk away with something. And there's plenty others. There's 7, 8, 9 others too. But that's, you're playing a good team on the road, and you miss opportunities like that. And then the drop on third down, I think we put the game away. I mean, nobody wants to hear all that, but that's the reality of it. I mean, there's perception and there's reality. And we make the catch, our best player, I mean, outside at the time, he's having a heck of a game, and he's just doing too much. I mean, that's fundamental. That's eye discipline. You don't catch a ball. Like, if this was a football, and I said, all right, hey, I'm going to throw you this ball. All right, John, all right, so I'm going to throw you the ball. You ready? All right, close your eyes. Boom. Well, why didn't you catch it? All right, because you can't see it. You physically catch the ball with your hands, but you really catch it with your eyes. Most balls are dropped in the last 6 to 12 inches on the flight of the ball because guys, they try to do too much. Instead of finish with your eyes. And this is a fundamental thing we coach, but, you know, heat of the moment, you know, I mean, it's a routine play. And that's what we're not doing a good job of. Same thing in the screen game on the outside. It's routine stuff that we've got to be better. We're just not playing with a lot of precision in what we're doing. And, you know, we haven't had that type of margin for error. And again, if we make 3 different plays and you're 3-0, it's still there. And you still got to clean stuff up and get better. But, hey, we're in a hole. We're in a hole, man. So we put ourselves in it. We got to battle our way out of it. But there's a path. It's not like we're getting run off the field, you know. And these are good teams. And nobody wants to give the opponent credit. You know, we're not entitled to win. You have to do what winning requires. You know, and we have not done that consistently. It takes complimentary football. It's winning the turnover margin. It's not having stupid penalties. All right? It's winning the big play margin. I mean, there's a lot of things that go into what you have to do to win. It's you know, precision in your execution. It's fundamental stuff. But that play was huge because we were rolling. I mean, we were rolling right there, and I think we can put the game away. But now you punt it, and we punt it to the 10, and they go 90. We couldn't get the ball back, and they take the lead. But then we respond. So, I mean, that was a great response. On the road, everything's against you, and you go right down the field and score. I thought that was awesome. There was a lot of grit, a lot of toughness, a lot of great effort. There was a lot of will to win in that drive right there. Those are all great things. Those are all positives as a coach that you see. So again, we're going to be a good football team. We'll be a good football team when it's all said and done. We didn't have a good first quarter, but I've never been in a football game they've called it after the first quarter. We got a long way to go, and this is going to be a good team when it's all said and done, because they care, they really do. These are great young men. That have done everything to deserve to have a great year. But sometimes, you know, balls, I mean, everybody's got good players. And, you know, we schedule tough. And, you know, that's just part of it. So we got to battle our way out. There's a lot of other teams out there, too, that, you know, maybe hadn't had quite the start that they want. You know, watch the Chiefs go 0-2. They're going to be all right. I don't think they're going to panic. So just go. Let's go find a way to win a game, and play the season out. I mean, and that's the reality is we've had one bad season here, and in 17 years as a head coach, we've had one bad season. That was 2010. I mean, that's just the facts. And we won 6 games, and that was a really painful year. We had 5 losses by 6 points or less. 5. One to the national champion at Auburn. That was a painful loss. And then those of you who were around here, y'all remember at Florida State that year. A guy kicked it from like 70. Dustin Hopkins, I think, was his name. I'll never forget it. Was it? Yeah, it would have been good from 70. I just know we led the whole game. They never led in the game. And we get a pass interference. I think it was on Chris Chancellor or somebody at like 3rd and Sense the ball. It was like 3rd and 17, and they call a PI, which put them in position to kick this heroic field goal, and it was tough, man. So, I mean, listen, I know everybody's frustrated, but 17 years, we've had one bad season. One. And that was 6 wins. The worst season we've had in 14 years is 9 wins. And that's happened one time. So, and it's not that we haven't had bad moments. It's not that we haven't had highs and lows. We've had highs. We've had lows. We've had bad moments. And I would say this is a bad moment. This is a bad little stretch. This is a low. But we've always responded. And that's how we've been able to – we've had 14 years in a row with a postseason win. I mean, we've been – we're not perfect. But the reason we – and this ain't – we've been in this situation many times. I mean, I said this last night. We started out 2-3 in my first year. It was pretty negative around here. First of all, people didn't want me to get the job. So then you come out and go 2-3. That don't help things. That ain't, wasn't a very good thing. Tim, that was – whoo, was it negative then, Tim? They talking bad about old Coach Sweeney? Yeah. Well, we went to the championship in 2010. Oh boy, we won 6 games, and nobody cares that you're. But I was more encouraged in 2010 than I had ever been because, I mean, we lost 5 games by 6 points or less, and I'm like, man, we're on the right track. I'm like, dang, these freaking dudes. I'm like, the leadership. I could see the culture. We're right there, and to just kind of learn how to win, you know. But Larry, you were probably talking really bad about me in 10, like ripping me. This guy's an idiot. What are we doing?
Confirmed.
And then 2011, hey, what happened? We start out 8-0 and win the ACC. But what happened that year? We lost 4 out of 6. Gave up 70 in the Orange Bowl. But we didn't, you know, close up shop. We came back the next year and went 11-2. Lost to Florida State. Lost to South Carolina. We came back the next year in 12 and lost to Florida State, lost to South Carolina, you know, 13. Y'all remember, we're 8-0, and we got the Taj Boyd showdown, and he's running boots when we're calling zone, and we're throwing pick sixes, and it was just a disaster, right? We're egging his house. I mean, it was like, you know, the world, it was a bad, that was a bad moment. That was a low. But, you know, we ended up being 11-2 and beat Ohio State in the Orange Bowl, and we lost 5 in a row to South Carolina. Boy, that was bad. I don't recommend that. That was really, really bad. But, you know, we just kept going. And then in 14, we start out 1-2. You know, we got this good team. We're supposed to be good. We were like probably a preseason top 15 team in 14 and got all these guys back, all these seniors. And, you know, we Todd Gurley ran through us in the fourth quarter down there in Athens. And then we got to go to Tallahassee and same thing. I mean – lead the whole game. Y'all remember that? I don't know if y'all remember that game. First and goal on the one. It's never happened to me in my life. Hopefully it never happens again. First and goal on the one, and we ended up punting. We punted. Snapped the ball, and then we get sacked. First and goal on the one, and we punted. And then we said we're going to kick the game-winning field goal. We're inside the 20 or 25 or so, and we fumble the ball. So it goes to overtime. They freaking run that back off to the left side right there. And, I mean, you know, it's like you're 1-2. That wasn't what we worked for. But you know what? That team rallied, man. Finished 10-3. Beat Oklahoma 40-6 in the bowl game. And then we went on a 5-year run, greatest run in the history of college football. But guess what? In 16, we lost one bad, and it was miserable. And it's all over. The world's coming apart. Everybody, you know, then in 17, we battled, lost a couple, lost up there at Syracuse, worst world's over. 18 and 19, we won 29 in a row, you know. So, I mean, 21, we have a pick six to the national champion, lose 10-3. We lose in double overtime at NC State, double overtime. You know, guy makes a one-handed catch falling down. And then we played bad at Pitt, but we're 10-3. We didn't quit. We battled. 22, we come back and win the league. You know, 2023, you know, 200 plus, first time ever to lose a game like that at Duke. We lose in overtime. We lead the whole game against Florida State. Sack, ball falls out of the sky. Touchdown. We lose in overtime. Double overtime at Miami. I mean, listen, man, I pick six at NC State. We're 4-4, and you got Notre Dame. What are you going to do? You quit? No, we fight. we're a great program because we've always responded. And we finished 9-4. It's the worst season we've had in 14 years. That's the worst season we've had in 14 years. How many ADs would sign up for that? How many AD? I know, so again, then we come back last year and we win the league again. We go back to the playoff. And right now, here we are. This is yet to be determined. This ain't written yet. I just say that, like, what's so bad about our program? What's so bad about it? Like, what's so bad about the worst season that we've had 14 years? How many programs in college football would sign up for one, and only once, 14 years of 9 wins? How many programs would sign up for that? In the playoffs, so we all talk about, we've been 7 times in 10 years. Who can say that? If we stink because we haven't played for the national championship since January of 20, well, I guess we stink. Or we haven't won it since January of 19. We haven't won the national championship. Well, then I guess we stink. But why are we held to a different standard from all these other teams out there who ain't ever won nothing? We're not perfect. And we may suck this year. We may lay a freaking egg and go 6-6. But I don't think so. And I know that's going to disappoint a lot of people. But I don't think so. All right? The reason we are, I think, the best program in college football is because we've always battled. We've always responded. We are not perfect. We've had some bad moments. We've had some bad little stretches. We've had some lows, and this is one of those. But we have a consistency, and we have a will to win and a fight and a program that is, to me, the model in all of college football. Our kids graduate. We got great people. They compete their butts off. They fight to the end. They respond. That's why we're here. It's not that we've never had adversity. We've had lots of adversity. That's why when I say this program was built from adversity and for it, that's why. I've lived it. So I got faith. I got faith because I've seen it. And again, you know, I got faith in the storm. And this is a little bit of a storm. It's disappointing. Again, and we could go schedule East University, West University, and South University, and everybody's all happy and peachy right now. But hey, we want to win at the highest level here, all right? And you know that's a part of the process. It's always been a part of the process, and you got to take the good, you got to take the bad, and right now we're in the bad with a walk-off 55-yarder and a very disappointing opportunity that we missed in the first game. But you give them credit, man. I give those teams deserved it. They earned it. They won it. And, you know, let's respond like we always have. And let's let the story be written. You know, so it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right.
The way you just defended your entire career here, are you feeling the criticism? Is it getting personal to you?
No, it doesn't. I really don't feel it. First of all, I don't let any of that in. I think that's a gift that I have, all right, because I don't let it in. I know it's bad because I get all the text messages, I'm praying for you, everybody's sending me devotions, and you're going to get through this. And, you know, that's when I know it's bad. That's how I feel it because I don't read it. I don't. I know people say that. I promise you I don't. When it's bad, I don't read nothing. Eddie Robinson told me that one time. I was a young GA at Alabama, 1993. And I'm just sitting there. I'm on my little computer thing breaking down whoever I was breaking down. And Eddie Robinson walks in my office. He's in a coat and tie. I never forget. I still got my notes. And he sits down, just me and Eddie Robinson. And he just wanted to talk. He wanted to know who I was. And he was in town visiting Coach Stallings. And he just walking around the building. And I'm just in there. And I guess it was around lunchtime. He just walks in and sat down. And that's one of the things he told me. He said, let me tell you something, young coach. He said, when it's bad, don't read nothing. That's what he said. He said, don't read the papers. Don't read nothing. And I know now, you know, we got all this other craziness. But I don't. But yeah, so I'm human, right? And I, like I said, I get. That's when I know it's bad, when I got people I didn't hear from a long time, and they're praying for me. The cool thing though is, I've had a lot of coaches in this conference, and other conferences that have reached out to me, and encouraging me, and I really appreciate that. Listen, I've done this a long time, and I say that to you just so you know. I mean, why would I not have faith? I mean, with what I've lived in my life, I just have to be crazy. So this ain't the worst thing that's happened to me in my life, and it won't be. And it won't be for these players. It's a bad moment, you know, because we take pride in what we do and we're competitive. But this ain't the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my life, is criticism and all that. And listen, I get it. And it's warranted because people care. And I love being at a program that people care and it matters. That doesn't bother me. I get all that. I spent 13 years at Alabama, so I had thick skin when I showed up here at Clemson. I mean, I understand expectations and disappointment and but man, nobody wants to win more than we do. So I love that. But it doesn't affect me. I mean, it's just part of it. But at the end of the day, man, you know, I've learned a lot in this job. One of the things I've learned is when you have a lot of success, people want to tear you down. That just comes with it. People want to tear you down. They want to see you fail. For either to make themselves look better or to promote whatever narrative or agenda they may have, that's part of it. And so you have to understand that, and I do. So I love my job, love the people I work with, where I work with, and I love it all. The bad, it's all good. It's all. And as a Christian, I know, Romans 8:28 says all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. And I love the Lord. My life's built on a foundation of faith. My identity is not a scoreboard. My identity is not being a football coach. So, I may not be happy, but I always have my joy. You know, I really do, because I said this the other day. I mean, I've had enough praise and hate and criticism and love to last three lifetimes. My life is built on a foundation of Christ. It just is. And so that's where my peace comes from. And if you don't have that, it's hard to understand that. But I have a foundation of Christ. That's where my peace comes from. That's just how I'm built. And I just know that, you know, adversity is a part of life. But it's a choice of whether or not you let it develop you or define you or destroy you. And I've always chosen to, you know, just turn the pain into purpose. I mean, I've always done that, and that's everything goes back to my purpose in life, and this, what I do for a living, our purpose as a program, that doesn't change. No record. I don't work to a record. My identity's not tied up in a scoreboard. None of that stuff. And there's probably a lot of people don't like to hear that, but we've had a lot of success here, and it hasn't been perfect. So I don't. I thrive in the battle, honestly. I have my whole life. I mean, I watched my sister-in-law die at 49 years of age in the hospital, breast cancer. I mean, listen, this is perspective is important. So, if they want me gone, if they tired of winning, they can send me on the way, because that's all we've done is win. So if they tired of winning, we've won this league 8 out of the last 10 years. Is that not good? I'm just asking, is that good? I don't know if that's good or not. To win your league 8 out of 10 years, to go to the playoffs 7 out of 10 years, to be in 4 national championships, win it twice. Yeah, we're a little down right now. Take your shots, but I got a long memory, in case y'all don't know. We'll be all right. We'll bounce back. This is a program built to last, always has been, always will be. And I would just say, if you give up on us, if you don't believe on us because we've lost two games down to the last straight and we're one, you didn't believe in us anyway, so it don't matter. You wasn't all in anyway. If you're all in, you burn the ships, man. There ain't no exit strategy. Like, you're freaking all in. And hey, listen, I mean, if Clemson's tired of winning, they can send me on my way, but I'm going to go somewhere else and coach. I ain't going to the beach. Hell, I'm 55. I got a long way to go. Y'all going to have to deal with me for a while. I got a long way to go. I'm just getting going. I'm just now good enough to be a head coach. I'm just now figuring it out. So we'll be around a while. Let's hang in there.
Really 55.
That's it, man. Do I look 70? Yeah, I think I'm that's about right around the age. I think Coach Stallings was, I think he was maybe, he was right around that age, 55, 56, something like that when he came to Alabama. I think Coach Saban, what was Coach Saban? He probably about that 55 or so when he got to Alabama. He coached for 32 years in Tuscaloosa, it seemed like. So, I got a long way to go, boys. Long way to go. Hate to disappoint all the haters out there, but ain't nothing going to steal my joy. Ain't nothing going to steal my joy. I ain't happy, but ain't nothing gonna, happiness is based on results you get, right? But joy is something that's deeper within, and that's what I build my life on. So I'm way too blessed to let it steal my joy. It's frustrating, and I'm sure it's really nasty because, again, we have a society now that's normalized nastiness and hate and criticism, and we give platforms to people to just tear people down and make stuff up and lie, and nobody cares. That's just normal in society. And that's sad, but that's why I don't participate in that. I just don't. I think we all have a choice what you let in and what you don't. And but that's also the world. That's part of the problem, too, you know, because that's the world these guys live in. And, you know, you lose a game at a place like Clemson and people can lose their mind. And, you know, you gotta learn how to manage that. You gotta learn how to live your life with that. That's why you gotta build your life on a foundation of faith.
When you say that they want you gone, are you talking about fans?
Whoever Kornbluth was talking about. Whoever.
And you mentioned the word perception. It seems there's a perception out there, narrative, that Adam Randall is not a running back necessarily, and so Clemson doesn't have a running back because he's converted from a wide receiver. How would you evaluate Adam Randall and his comparison to a traditional running back?
He's been one of the real bright spots for us. He's been one of the real bright spots for us, and he's given us a chance to win. He just needs to play. He just needs to keep going, and he really did a great job in the Troy game, got it going. I thought we got it going last week. I just think we got to keep rolling there. He's on his way. I've been pleased with Adam. It's not all bad. There's been a lot of good things. He's actually been one of the bright spots for us.
How much of your job right now is preparing confidence and building?
That's a huge part. I mean, it's a huge part because, again, of what I just said. I mean, that's they just – everything's bad, right? You lose a game like at Clemson and, you know, fire everybody. All your coaches stink. Everybody's stupid. They don't know what they're doing. All the players are bad. I mean, that's just the world they live in. And so, and then you have a gut punch like we had the other day. And, you know, it's a huge part of what we have to do as coaches. I mean, it's always a part of it.
Coach, I imagine you've heard that the ACC broadcasted the officials going through their calls during the game so that fans could hear explanation.
I didn't know that. I did.
Now you know.
There you go.
I know you get that explanation on the sideline yourself all the time, but when you talk about perception, how does that maybe help the fans at home get that context and understand calls happening in the game, especially maybe when things aren't going your way?
Okay, so you're talking about people at home being able to see the refs in the command center. Transparency, I think, is always a good thing. I think that's what they're trying to accomplish with that, is just transparency and maybe just teaching people what their process is and how they go about things. I think that's what you're asking me.
How would you evaluate job Garrett's done with kind of rebuilding confidence, getting them back in rhythm? Like, how do you feel like he's done this process?
None of us have done a good job at this point. We all have to be better. Like, we're 1-2. So from just a pure football standpoint, we haven't gotten it done. I mean, ultimately, we're responsible for results. We got to score points. So we haven't done a good job. I mean, we've got to be better. All of us. Not just Garrett, everybody. He's not the only guy in the room. We all have to be better. Everybody's got to be better. And the players got to be better too, but you know, it starts with the coaches. I mean, we got to score, and we're just missing a lot of opportunities, and you know, got to take some pressure off the defense. Again, I we did not play good enough to win Saturday defensively, but 21 points you know, should be a standard. You know, like, I mean, we've won a lot of games around here when we hold the opponent to less than 23 points. That's kind of been our standard. And so it's not got to be perfect, but we've all, you know, it's complementary football. And so that's where I think the offense has to be. We got to get going. We're not anywhere near what we should be, can be, and what we're going to be. So to this point, you know, none of us have done a good enough job.
With the new regulations at the meet at the Paul, we've seen you now at your two home games have a special one with TJ and Cade. What has it been like actually having that time and not getting swarmed right away?
The first game was a blur. You know, I was more just pissed in the moment. The Troy game was a little better. I miss the fan. I like the fans. I think we'll get better. I wish we wouldn't play the alma mater till we got the fans out there. You know, I miss hugging up on random people, students. You know, I understand it and make sure that we get the opponents off the field and what they're trying to do. And I think that's important. So we're still kind of working it out. I think eventually we'll find the right rhythm to where you know, we can still beat Clemson. And think, you know, one of the things that's made Clemson unique and special for a long time.
You still have the policy of your public commitments not taking visits to other schools?
Yes.
So,
but we're not going to talk recruiting. But yeah, that is a policy here.
Okay, yeah. So not pick, but just so.
And I don't bring committed kids in here either. So I don't do that. I don't visit committed guys here. So I don't bring them into games.
Does that? What's the problem?
That's between us and recruiting. We're not getting involved in recruiting in this press conference.
Revenue sharing now, does it add a different level of accountability in terms of the player having to play up to what they're being paid or any pressure? How do you view that?
Sure. I mean, that's you can't have it both ways. I mean, it's more than just a scholarship now. So, you know, revenue share is, you know, based on performance, right? Like, so you got to sit down every year and you got to figure out, because we're heading into, like I said many times, it might take a year or so to really kind of everybody settle in, because everybody did so much front loading and everything's kind of off for maybe a year. But you got to make decisions. I mean, everybody's going to have the same amount of money. And then you have true NIL with the NIL go, and all that stuff has to be meet a standard and all that stuff, and that's great. But the rev share is, I mean, it's a game changer for us, because NIL is hard here. I mean, it was really hard, but the rev share is a game changer, because now we can use our money, you know. But you have to divide it up. And so, how do you divide it up? Well, okay, these are our first rounders, first of all, you got to retain guys. You have to retain your talent, and then you got to acquire talent, and you got to have there's a process on both of those. But yeah, I mean, you pay the wrong guys, you're in trouble. Right. And these aren't lifetime contracts. So, I mean, no different than the next level. You have to perform. And there's still a portal. Kids can still go. So it's very different. It's not anywhere near like the NFL. I mean, NFL can't, those guys can't, they can get cut anytime, but they can't leave anytime. There's a very different model, from what we deal with in college. But yeah, you have the guys that there's a performance. I mean, guys don't play well, it's going to be a different conversation when you sit down the next year, right? So it's just part of it.
You talk about sort of the rat poison before the season, listening to the wrong things, and maybe some guys get too full of themselves. How much does it maybe complicate that to introduce large amounts of money?
Well, it doesn't help. I mean, it's another just factor that you have to deal with. I mean, that's just the world we live in. And I don't think guys getting too full of themselves. I just think sometimes the expectations can become the focus as opposed to just the process, and just, you know, that's just there. These are young people. And for this particular group, they have never dealt with that. All they've gotten is they're terrible, and you know, everything's bad, apparently, you know, even though they've won championships and been in the playoff. But this was the first year that this group really had to deal with that. So it's a part of building back to the top of the mountain. You know, no different than when I got the job and we built our way to the top of the mountain. You know, we're building our way back. And it's not easy. It's not perfect. But we're going to win it again multiple times. We're going to win it again. I said that in 08, December 1. Everybody laughed at me. I said, we're going to win a national championship at Clemson. Everybody laughed. And when we struggled in 9 and 10 and 11 and we're losing, we're having some bad runs and streaks, everybody wants me to do this and everybody do that. No, we're going to do what we think is best for Clemson. And we'll get there. We'll win again. We will.
More of a mental block, or do you think it is the attention and eyes and just tightening things up?
I think it's both. I think it's you know, definitely mental, in that all of a sudden guys are pressing, they're trying to do too much, you know, they care, and then it's just a little bit of just some bad luck too, like where you got the right play and, you know, we don't execute for whatever reason properly. So it's a combination of all those things. The good news is it's there. I mean, it's on tape. Like we know what we're looking at. Like we understand what the game plan is and what we're asking these guys to do. So I mean, it's not like it's just bad. We just have to be better, and it starts with the coaches. And again, it's just very little precise details, technical things, but some of it's confidence, because again, disappointment can create doubt. Disappointment can create noise, you know, and that can all of a sudden, you know, you can play uptight. And that's just human nature. And try, you know, as hard as you want, and next thing you know, you're getting out of your process. So it's not anything we can't overcome, but we better start this week, because the only thing worse than 1-2 is 1-3. So that's it. We're trying to battle back from that.
Is some of it with this year's team learning how to win?
Yes. Yeah. And again, that's part of our job as teachers, and what we've had to do a long time around here is you know, teaching how to win. And it comes back to our plan to win. It comes back to doing what winning requires. And what are you doing when you're not here? What are you doing when nobody's watching? You know, all of it matters when you're trying to win at the highest level. So that is definitely part of it. And those are things that you teach all the time. And you have to reteach, because you got new people. And it's, you know, you know, we've always responded and we've always got better. And again, like I said, we have 14 years, the worst season we've had is 9 wins. And it's happened one time. So I that's bad. I guess we're bad. But it's not that we haven't had, we've had lots of moments like this, but we've responded. We've taught. That's what's driven our consistency. We've made changes and corrections and adjustments, and that's just, you don't keep a job for 17 years if you at this level if you don't do something right. And so, you know, again, just you go back to the core things, the basics, the fundamentals. You know, make sure the lockers are clean. Make sure everybody's showing up to treatment on time. Like, let's just get back to the process of every little thing. But the main thing is you got to have the right people, and we got that. These are some great young men. I mean, they really are. They care, and they're talented. So we'll get it going.
When you see the explosives in Syracuse passing game, is that RPO, yards after catch, or are they shots? Like, how would you break that down?
All the above. Ton of drop back. where they're just ripping it and a bunch of move the pocket, a bunch of RPO. Most of the RPO stuff is more, you know, perimeter stuff, bang eights, a lot of empty. Where a lot of times you go empty, it's a lot of quick game and things like that, but they'll take some shots out of empty. They double moves, a little bit of everything. So, I mean, it's a lot of verticals. I mean, they'll push the ball down the field, but the quarterback's a good player. They've done a nice job. Done a nice job of that.
Got time for one or two more for Coach.
Nolan has missed a field goal, LSU game and Tech game. What have you seen on those two, and just kind of what's the key to getting
there? Yeah, I mean, he's just kind of leaving his shoulder, you know. He's just kind of getting it, you know. It's kind of like if you leave your club open a little bit, right? You push it out to the right, and both of them have been right there. You know, Ryan's a very technical guy from a coaching standpoint. And, they're 50-yarders or whatever, but we expect him to make those, and that's his job. So, and those are that's critical. I mean, you make that field goal in the LSU game, and, well, I'm not going for it on fourth down twice to go win the game or tie the game. I kick a field goal, and then I kick another field goal to send it to overtime there. It just changes things, you know, changes some dynamics and things. And then same thing the other day, came down to 3 points. And there's a lot of those 3 points. We missed a field goal. We turn it over and they got a field goal. We missed the touchdown on the A. I mean, there's a lot of things that can impact games. And, you know, so everybody's just – we got to do our job with more consistency if you're going to win. And that is a part of it. These guys have got to learn how to win, in particular the close game. You know, and we still lead the nation in one-score games. In the last 14 years of college football, one-score games are hard. And we lead the nation. I think we're just over 70-something percent, and I think maybe the next closest team is maybe Ohio State, and they're like 60-something percent. Those are hard games. But the reason we've won so much around here is we've won the close games. And right now we're not making the – but in close games, that's one of the things Coach Stallings always taught me. That's always his last thing he'd tell us every time. Men, it's going to be three or four plays to make the difference in winning and losing. Play every play like it's that play. And we're not, you know. And that's how you learn to win. You know, every play can be the play that wins the game. And so, you know, just you've heard me say it many times, but that's where we got to be better, is understanding that every play is the play. And that's really what it's come down to for us. And we haven't won the close games, and, you know, we've got to finish. And we got a 10-10 game in the fourth quarter versus LSU. And we don't finish. And then we got a lead versus Georgia Tech, and we got them backed up, and we don't finish. So we got to finish in the fourth quarter. You got to play one more quarter. So, I mean, there's just a lot of little things when you're learning to win at the highest level, and because you don't just carry that over. You know, guys leave. It's not like I get to keep guys forever around here, so you're always coaching and teaching, and there's challenges along the way. But for me, I just fall back on my experience. I mean, I've done this a long time. I've been in this situation many times. This is not my first rodeo. I've been 1-2 before. Been 4-3. I've been 2-3. Started my career 2-3. So, I mean, we rally. We get better.
All right. Thank you, Coach.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Nobody does dual enrollment like Tri-County Technical College. It's never too early for you and your child to think about college. The dual enrollment program at TCTC offers the opportunity to take two or more dual enrollment classes, and it's a cost-effective way to earn college credit. Your student can get a jump start on college, saving time and money. You and your child have options, so why not discover what dual enrollment at Tri-County can do for you? Find out more at tctc.edu/DE.
Hey folks, want to ask you a question. How many of you spent all summer going on vacations, grilling out in the backyard, and you've put on a few too many pounds? Well, if you're raising your hand right now, here's the deal. You could go to a pill and think it's a quick fix. It is not quick, it is not cheap, and it doesn't fix the problem. PhD weight loss fixes the problem because it retrains your brain and it retrains your body. It helps you dig into the real reason you put those pounds on. They believe that the true key to long-term weight loss starts with your mind and not your mouth. the pills, the shots, Ozempic, etc., those are all unnatural solutions to what is really a natural problem. I lost 24 pounds in 5 weeks on a PhD weight loss plan, and I have kept that weight off for years now because the plan works, and I haven't spent a second in a doctor's office or pharmacy trying to find a remedy for weight gain. I would highly encourage you to talk through the possibilities now with one of the PhD weight loss consultants. Call them 864-644-1900 or go to myphdweightloss.com.
All right, are you tired of your dusty, cracked, and stained garage floor? Do what all your neighbors are doing and have it coated. But please, do yourself a favor and don't hire just anybody who says that they do floor coatings. You'll regret it. I'm Jake Wilson, owner of Iron Drive Floor Coatings, and we've been the premier concrete coating company in the upstate since 2011. We take pride in doing things the right way, with quality employees, equipment, and materials. You get the very best with Iron Drive. Visit our website today for a free quote at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
It's the time, Tiger fans. Football season is here. Make sure your tailgate machine is ready for the season with a trip to Pendleton Tire Company. Whether it's tires, brakes, or that lift kit and wheels you've wanted, Pendleton Tire Company can take care of all your needs.
Hey, Tiger fans. Get ready for football and tailgating on a new set of tires from my daddy at the Pendleton Tire Company.
Listen to Cruz and go see his dad and the team at the Pendleton Tire Company in Pendleton or online at pendletontire.com.
If you are a realtor in the upstate of South Carolina, I want to help you close more deals. And here's how I can do that. I'm Mike. I'm the owner of One Tom Plumber, and we are already working with realtors in your area doing the same exact thing. We're the go-to plumbing crew for realtors all across the state of South Carolina because we provide a free same-day quote based on your home inspection report.
Just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. That's their name. That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
Did you know the IRS is hiring thousands of new revenue officers, leading to more audits and levies? If you have outstanding taxes, these changes could bring added stress and trouble your way. Take action now before things get worse. Let David Green at Green Law Firm help you resolve your tax issues before the IRS comes knocking. Call Green Law Firm today at 864-271-7940. That's 864-271-7940. Or visit greenlaw.legal. Act now and enjoy peace of mind tomorrow.
Hey y'all, Robert Kraft here, owner of Clemson Sock Shop, and we've got some exciting news. We're opening something brand new on the square, Four Men on Exchange, your new place for gifts, garment, and gear. While the women's stuff's across the street at Newtique Boutique, we've now got you covered from head to toe with Four Men on Exchange. While we're currently in our pop-up location as we wait for the new building to be
97.5 Spartanburg, we are the Roar.
Be renovated. You can follow along the progress on Instagram and Facebook. Four Men on Exchange, your place for gifts, garments, and gear.
Your access to cutting-edge pain relief just got even easier.